just runs down. It goes DK Metcalf.
You know what they
say, that's my nigga. I'm fucking with y'all. As always, he's got a completion to McLaurin. To Terry McLaurin. He's looking that away. Gets it to him on the side. He's got it. Tries to run away. So he's in the inside the 25. And there we go. To McLaurin makes up the night. And a baby on the first. He was not touched.
All right. Welcome to the Back Row Redskins Show. In this show, man, I got some special guests for you guys. I'm going to start off with Hansel. Hansel is a passionate, passionate Washington football fan. Hansel, introduce yourself, brother.
What's up, Twitter world, Washington football team world. Excited to be here. I'm Hansel, a longtime WFT fan. Since the day I was born into it. My mom actually got me into it, so I'm excited to be here. Thank you, Manny, for having me on, and I'm ready to chop it up with you fellas.
Absolutely. Let's get it, man. I got Christian. I'm not even going to say your last name, Christian, because I always wrong. But this guy right here knows the stuff. He's from the Redskins Hub. Introduce yourself, Christian.
What's up, y'all? My name is Christian. As Manny said, I know him through Redskins Hub and other fantasy football league and whatnot. But in my young life, I've always been a Washington fan. My dad got me into it. And ever since Todd Gollins had that magical wild card run, I've been a Redskins fan and a Washington football fan since. I've never seen a Super Bowl or a playoff win as I've been alive. So, I mean, I look forward to the day I can say that for the burgundy and gold.
It's coming, man. It's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I got George Carmi, man. Hey, I've been a fan of yours since last year. You probably don't even remember, man. I know you did some stuff with my guy, Josh Taylor. And I was like, man, this guy right here is sharp, man. So ever since then, man, I've been, you know, following you on Twitter, following your work, man. Appreciate you coming on the show. Introduce yourself, George.
No, I really appreciate it, man. Appreciate being with all you guys here, man. You know, good fans, good families over here. So I'm George Carmi from FBC Washington. I've been a fan of Washington my whole life. I have two older brothers. They're like 47, 45. They school me to the game, watching Mark Rippon, Gary Clark, the posse growing up. Fan for life, man. So, you know, one of my hobbies is kind of putting my passion to work and writing about the Redskins and WFT, as Hans says, so over there. So.
Awesome, awesome. Next guy is one of my best friends, man, Adam Aniba. This guy right here has the best articles. He's from the Burgundy and Gold Report. Introduce yourself, my brother.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Yeah, so we started the Burgundy and Gold Report. This is going to be the fourth year now. We finally got our .com launched this January. We have our player prospect cards, unique, I believe. I do scouting simply for basis on Washington football, where I believe that they fit. I received my training at the Scouting Academy under Lewis Riddick and a lot of other great GMs and former scouts. And just happy to hear and chop it up with you guys.
Awesome, man. Last but not least, I got my guy Disco. Man, this guy right here is passionate, man. He has lots of interesting takes. And I'd say about 80% I agree with. The other 20, we kind of go back and forth. I respect his takes. And when he said that he can come on the show, I was excited. Welcome to the show, Disco. Introduce yourself, bro.
Hey, fellas, how you doing? Hey, man, 80%, man, I'll take that. Hey,
that's pretty good.
That's all the beauty of it, man. Yeah, Disco here, man, native Washingtonian. You know, grew up on Redskins. I think when I first got interest in the Redskins at the time when it was Redskins, Billy Kilmer was the quarterback. So I'm pre-Joe Theismann in the pre-Golden era. So I was actually able to see it from its infancy. So, you know, I'm really happy to be here. Shout out Dave Butts is my favorite, a little unusual, but he's my favorite Redskins of all time. Everybody that knows me knows that. So I'm happy to be here, man. Good to chop it up with you guys, man. Under what better topic than the Washington football team?
Awesome. And for those who are following on YouTube, please be sure to subscribe to the Talking Sports with Manny YouTube page. For those that are watching on Twitter, please feel free to comment. This is a free show, Liberty show. Just comment. Let's go ahead and have a good time. But I wanted to kick this thing off today with the Terry McLaurin highlights. And it's for a reason. You guys know we now have Ryan Fitzpatrick. And one of the topics was how does Fitzmagic helped to elevate Terry McLaurin's play this year. To me personally, I think that Fitzmagic is going to be the best quarterback that Terry has played with this year. Let me read some stats to you guys. So, in 2019, with Devontae Parker for eight games, I believe it was the last eight games of 2019. I know Christian knows very well. We played fantasy, and anybody who had Devontae Parker, you pretty much won your fantasy league because he went berserk. He had 45 catches for 802 yards and five touchdowns. That's in eight games. So the last eight games of the season, he just went off. He went crazy. And after this season, Devontae Parker was able to get paid. Now, Devontae Parker is nowhere near Terry McLaurin, in my opinion. You know, so for a 16-game season, is it possible that Terry has 88 catches, 1,600 yards, 10 touchdowns? It's very possible. I've said on Josh Taylor's show, I said 1,600 yards. I've said it on numerous shows. I've said 10 touchdowns as well. So let's go around the frames. Hansel, what do you think happens this year with Terry McLaurin with Ryan Fitzpatrick at the quarterback?
Well, first of all, I mean, of course, I think he's going to have a big year. You know, adding a guy like Curtis Samuel to the lineup obviously frees up a lot. Also, depending on what we do at other positions like tight end, more weapons we add, even McKissick and everything. A guy like Fitzpatrick, for those of you who don't know, I live in Miami. I'm a Miami guy. All my friends are Dolphin fans, so I've gotten to see him up close and personal. What I feel is going to be most important, not just for Terry, but for the team, is the confidence that he's going to bring, the leadership skills. We've all known. We've been fans for forever. Mm-hmm. We know we have not had a guy at that position. Nobody who just come in, take charge, have that moxie. And if we do, you know, hopefully add a young guy, he'll benefit from Fitz too. But going back to McLaurin, he's shown what he could do with very little. Yeah, you know, he's had a lot of inconsistency at the quarterback position. Different offenses to learn and all that stuff. I think that Scott Turner is going to grow and that offense is going to grow, especially with a guy like Fitzmagic, who's going to probably have influence, I'm sure, a little bit on that offense. They're going to want to do things that he does well. But regardless what the play is, you know that a guy like him is going to look downfield.
And a guy like
Terry, the good thing about him is, well, he might not be the biggest guy, but I'm going to bet on him all day on 50-50 balls. He's going to go up and get it. He's shown it all the time. And when you show that to a quarterback and you learn that in practice and you build that chemistry,
right,
he's gonna throw to him. So I see him having a really big year. There's going to be a lot of balls to go around. So that's the only thing that kind of makes me hesitant on what the numbers are going to be, because I feel like we're going to have an actual offense this year and have weapons. But besides that, we already know he's going to have a big year. So that's my take on that.
Awesome, awesome. Christian, what's your take?
I mean, with Terry, I mean, like you said, Hans, we've seen him do so much already with so little. Like, I mean, such a difficulty for any wide receiver to have to go through Case Keenum, Colt McCoy, Dwayne Haskins, Kyle Allen, Alex Smith in 2 years of football. Like, that's crazy. And then Taylor Heineke for the one game and a half. Like, he's already had a handful of quarterbacks 2 years in. Like, I can't imagine what he'll finally do when he's able to put down some repetition, get some chemistry going with one guy versus having to, you know, game plan again and again and again. And then seeing Terry's on field, I really wish people saw his route running consistently and watched how he makes his breaks. Because, like, I can give, for example, the Ravens game. That dude made Marlon Humphrey look like burnt, you know, toast out there consistently. Like, his head, the way he has his head and hip fakes to be able to bait a guy inside, come back out and break away. Like, his separation is elite. And I mean elite. Like, there's very few people you can put in that conversation. Now, for fantasy players, I think you'll see a number rate like Chris Godwin's 2019 season, where his third year breakout, finally he had like 90 catches, 1,400 yards, eight something touchdowns like that. Like Fitzpatrick, what we know is he's going to throw the ball. He's going to give his receiver one any kind of contested catch, and we've seen McLaurin do that. I think Terry's going to be a next step because now you have Curtis Samuel in the building. It's not like you can just double-team, triple-team him and then expect Cam Sims or, God forbid, Steve Sims go out there again and drop another ball. You know, so overall, I think Terry's primed to have a great breakout season. And, I mean, the character that dude has, like, he has high intangible character. For a wide receiver, and I love it. So I think he's going to be a baller this year.
Awesome. And for me, man, I feel like Terry reminds me a lot of Allen Robinson. Different skill set for the most part, but for the aspect of Allen Robinson has played with some pretty trash quarterbacks. And, you know, he's one of those guys that's matchup proof, or, I mean, quarterback proof. So, I mean, Terry is showing, I mean, with the guy who's played, continues to, you know, improve and show that he is a legit wide receiver in his league. It doesn't matter. Like, teams know where the ball is going. Sometimes he's double, triple team, and he still comes up big. George, what's your take on this?
It's funny you say QB proof, man. I definitely agree with you on that. I think Terry McLaurin, DeAndre Hopkins, man, two people that are QB proof no matter what they do. Terry McLaurin does have that innate like leadership qualities and the hardworking lunch pail like qualities you want in wide receiver. One thing that he's proven over the past 2 years is that he can withstand volume, right? So his first year, he had 91 targets his first year as a rookie, which is awesome, right? 91 targets, 900 yards, 7 touchdowns, right? This year, I don't know if you guys are kind of familiar with it, but 128 targets for Terry McLaurin this year. He's a ball hog. You can basically throw it to him. He can eat it up, right? Yep. I think, as Hans mentioned, it's going to drop back a little bit with Curtis Samuel, but maybe, 100 targets maybe this year. But you know what? I think what's going to go up for him is deep targets. I think with Alex Smith and with Haskins, he was kind of restricted and limited, right? I saw a stat the other day on PFF that 25% of Alex Smith's passes were less than 10 yards, like behind the line of scrimmage and 10 yards within, right? And about 50% were about, you know, 10 to 15 yards. Flip that for Fitzpatrick. He doesn't necessarily do behind the line of scrimmage. That extra 25% will go to that 10 to 20 yard deep shots, right? So, you know, Terry McLaurin had a 14.9 average distance of target, you know, his first year, dropped a 9.9 this, like, you know, last year. But I think it's going to go up. I'd say, you know, maybe about, you know, 12, 13 yards per target, you know, 80, 90 catches. With 17 games, I'm kind of picturing Terry McLaurin with about 1,300 yards, you know, 7 touchdowns this year. I think his touchdowns will go up. He only had 4 touchdowns last year. I think there's going to be a couple big strikes with Fitzpatrick. It'll be kind of fun. I think Fitzpatrick's going to let it rip. It's going to be ugly sometimes, but it's going to be a lot of fun sometimes too. I'm looking forward to it. So that's my take.
Yes, sir. I'm waiting for those deep bombs to Terry McLaurin. It's going to be exciting this season. Adam, what's your take?
I mean, it was interesting what George was talking about how that sending him deep is just something that we've had a luxury with all these different quarterbacks. But one thing I'll say is looking at the Carolina tape with Samuels last year, a lot of people were putting him in the box that, you know, he's just that tweener guy. But Brady really got him to be a better route runner. So I think we're getting a better Samuel than Turner and Rivera had in Carolina. So yeah, I'm really interested because the addition of Humphrey on top of that. Again, I just wrote an article about building chemistry. So you bring in Humphrey that had his best year with Fitzpatrick. 880 yards. I think it was 6 touchdowns. And then now you're bringing back 2 former teammates in Samuel McLaurin. I think it's more than just building weapons, building guys at hard stop. It's building that chemistry. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm a draft guy. So a lot of people are saying, okay, now we're set at the slot. I don't think that's at all how it's going to be. I don't think you're going to see a traditional slot, traditional X, or traditional Z in this offense. I think people are going to be interchangeable. And I think, you know, we're talking about all the receivers, you know, another tight end that's going to be able to really spread the field along with Logan Thomas. This is not going to be a traditional offense. I think think of the Air Coryell hybrid version. And I think by getting Samuel, there was talk about them targeting Galladay. I question that a bit because how, you know, I just don't see him in the overall picture that they're trying to run right now. People have given up on AGG a lot. You know, I don't know why. Coming from the small school level, it's not easy. I saw from 2018, 2019 what he did. So, you know, just factor in these different guys we have before even the draft. I think all the attention is going to be on Terry McLaurin. But, you know, what I'm really excited about is this is going to open up the run game. When you have guys that can go deep like this, what's going to happen is now teams are going to have to be honest. They're going to either have to dedicate people up front or really, if they're going to double Terry and then keep an eye on our other speed guys, it's going to open up the run game. So what I'm excited about is we're all getting caught up in the pass game, but I think this is when we're going to see them really get back to, you know, not that traditional power game, but I think a combination of some zone outside stuff that we see that they like to run. But I think by having somebody like McLaurin, everyone's talking about the deep passes, but go look at OSU. What did he do best, man? Blocking. This guy is one of the best blockers I've seen in college football at the receiver position. So I think what's going to go on is Fitzpatrick will open up the offense, but it's going to just bring the offense together. So I'm excited. They just need to add a few more pieces, but I think, you know, they have a lot of promise going into this season.
I love it. I love it. Disco, what about you?
So, you know, what's interesting is, you know, we talked about leadership. Players know. Players know with a quarterback. We've seen pictures of Terry happy. Players know, and he knows what he's been working with. I mean, to the point of, you know, they know what Alex Smith could do and couldn't do. No disrespect to Alex, but you know, when you may have to break off your route by, you know, 5-10 yards, you know, instead of going, 10-15 yards deep, you may have to break it off 6 or 7 yards, maybe because of the limitations that your quarterback may have in the pocket. The other thing I really don't think we appreciate, and I think we alluded to it a little bit, is the McLaurin's ability to run the full route tree. You know, he's not just outside. He's not just slot. And his ability to run the full route tree with a quarterback like Fitzpatrick, I think, is something to really, really be excited about. And a quarterback, I don't think the Washington football team or the Redskins really have had a quarterback that is, you know, Alex Smith is probably one of the most exciting quarterbacks just in terms of pushing the ball downfield that I can remember we've had in a long time. Now, he's going to make some tragic throws, but he's going to make some throws that are going to make you say, wow. And hopefully we can live with the ones that, you know, that may be a little bit more tragic. But the other thing I'm excited about is I have sat and watched so much football. So many other teams go 3 and 4 deep at the wide receiver or pass catcher position, while we're sitting generally always at maybe 1 star and maybe 3 or 4 Jags or 3 or 4 second and third tier pieces. So I'm really excited about we have, you know, with Samuel and McLaurin, I mean, we have two, you know, and Gibson, we've got 2 to 3 blue chip players on offense. And I totally agree with what Adam is saying. I think people are giving up way too soon on AGG. He came in, mm-hmm. He's hurt. You mold those guys. He's on a rookie deal, so it's really no rush for him to perform. So, yeah, I'm excited with what we have.
Awesome. I had myself mute. So yeah, man, perfect segue into the draft. But since we're talking about wide receiver, let's go ahead and stick with wide receivers for right now. Just give me a few guys that you're looking at in the draft. And you might feel like we need a receiver. You might feel that we don't need a wide receiver. But I feel like we need all the weapons as possible. Before the Humphrey signing, before the Curtis Samuel signing, I was saying, look, this is a deep draft full of wide receivers. And now we're seeing pro days. Everybody's running a 4.2. Like Disco said on his Twitter not too long ago, everybody's running a 4.2. But either way, there are some pretty intriguing prospects. Let's start with Hansel. Is there any guy that you're looking at wide receiver-wise that you like, that you feel fits this team, maybe in the second round, third round, maybe in the first round? I don't know. Maybe a Jalen Waddle falls. I don't know. But
that's, you know, if one of those guys falls in the first round, one of those Alabama guys, I mean, it's hard to pass up on guys like that. It really is. I mean, I know we have other needs, but I like how we've been going best player available, and you need to stick to that. That's how we've gotten some of this blue chip talent that we have, especially on offense. We know that that's our weakness. If we turn that around and we match it to what the defense is doing, I mean, we're going to be unstoppable. But one guy that I before I tell you a couple guys on my list, can't sleep on Kelvin Harmon, man. That guy, mm-hmm. I have not forgotten about that guy, and he was making a lot of good progress, and he kind of fits what we kind of need, you know, big body going over the middle, running those 10-yard routes, you know, those digs, those ins, being physical, going up and getting it. And I do agree with Adam, you can't sleep on AGG. You know, he's young. It's his first year. We all know it takes about 3 years to develop in the wide receiver position for it to really click. But some guys that I like, obviously – the Twitter world always talks about Rashad Bateman. I mean, that guy's special. I think he's going to be a straight baller. There, you know, people talk about speed. The way I see it, man, it's what you do with the ball when it's in your hands.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And a guy like that, I mean, he's proven that he's dynamic. He's explosive. Another guy is Tylan Wallace from OK State. Mm-hmm. I really like him a lot. He was second to Jerry Jeudy. For the top receiver in college, mm-hmm. He's broken a bunch of records. He had a game for 222 yards, a game for 220 yards, I think, against Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. I want to say one of them was against Texas also. But and another guy, of course, Rondale Moore. Oh man, that guy right there. And you know, you look at our offense, and we do have like a bigger guy like AGG and Kevin Harmon, mm-hmm. and we're gonna try to give those guys a chance to develop. I love what Turner's doing. Like, you know, alignment assignment, it's really hard to follow in football when you got guys in the backfield like what we're doing. I mean, right. The crazy thing is you can put McKissick, Gibson, Curtis Samuel and McLaurin all on the field at the same time. And it's just like interchangeable. The guys are so similar. Their traits and their skills are so similar. Not only that, another thing that I'm excited about Curtis Samuel is that the familiarity that he has with McLaurin from their days at Ohio State. You know, you cannot, like, bringing in a free agent, sometimes it takes a while to mesh and blend. But in that room, you got guys who are leaders who know how to do it together. You add it with a guy like Chase Young, obviously the Ohio State tie. But those are some of the, you know, I would say three guys that I'm kind of looking at. But if we got a guy like Moore, I mean, I'd do backflips if we got a guy like that.
Yeah, awesome. I mean, like you said, it's all about best available prospect. I mean, if Rondale Moore is sitting there at 51,
you gotta pull that trigger, man.
You gotta pull that trigger because when you look at the rankings, right? You got your, you know, like your big three, the Jamar Chase and the two Alabama guys, and then maybe Bateman and Rondale Moore. They're all right there. They're all right there. And who knows? I mean, Rondale Moore, that's like my second favorite guy after Bateman, man. The guy can just do it all. Christian, let me get your take on this, man.
Yeah, so, I mean, piggybacking off the draft strategy, I've never been one to draft for need. I think that ends up always leading you to get stagnant. And, just look at the example from last year. I thought Antonio Gibson, when I first heard that pick go down, I was like, why are we taking a running back? Then when you see the progression, what happens, like Adrian Peterson, we ended up cutting. Darius Geis had the off-field issue. Before you know it, I mean, AG was the guy. And then he actually played great football down the stretch, if you ask me.
Yep.
So did McKissick as well. But yeah, I think you always draft for best player available because, I mean, if you can form a strength and a strength, then do it. And if that happens to be a filling a need too, then great. But, I mean, you want talent. You want blue chip people who can become something more than just, well, there was nothing else we could get, so we'll just take him just because. Right. Now, this will probably be an unpopular opinion among Washington fans, but I'm not personally a big Harmon fan. I think for my taste, he's too much of a body catcher and kind of like iffy with his routes. Now, granted, he's a 6th-round pick from 2 years ago, and things can change, and he just had a devastating injury, so I'm not going to write the guy off, and he's on a rookie contract. So, like, no, it's not like we paid him Galladay money and then expect the world out of him. No, I mean, classic, but that's just me. Right. Now, obviously the easy answer for receivers is Rondale Moore, I mean, in the draft. I mean, I think we've already kind of hit the golden button on that. This draft is very deep for slot receivers, and – I think it was Adam or Disco who said it, like, just because we signed Humphreys doesn't mean you should draft another. Like, absolutely take another. Build a strength. I mean, Manny, I think on another episode you had said, like, the Rams took Vance Jefferson or someone like that, third or fourth round, on top of having Woods and Kupp and, you know, what they got. Like, so you never want to stop upgrading and keeping a strength up because what if Terry does go down? Then you're back to Curtis being the number one, and then, you know, things happen and change from there. So, I mean, I also will admit too up front, I haven't done my deepest study of wide receivers this draft, so I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I know everything. But Rondale Moore has been the one, if for the few that I have watched, that guy's been consistently like a jitterbug of fun.
Right.
Yeah.
George,
man, it's why receiving class is awesome. I've been loving watching them. It's so great. Honestly, I did a mock draft the other day. Very easily, 6 wide receivers can go in the first round, in my opinion. There's so many good wide receivers that are out there.
Yep.
You know, my favorite wide receiver, like, you know, everyone likes Jamar Chase. I love Waddle, man. Like, I know we're not going to get him, but I love Waddle. I think he's kind of a more refined Henry Ruggs, kind of like a T.Y. Hilton kind of person. Like, he can explode, just take off, and one cut and gone. I love that. Just kind of like, he's just a great player. To answer your question, though, Manny, more like a later draft pick, Diami Brown from North Carolina. I think he's an explosive player. He can definitely hit the ball deep. He can hit those, like, you know, long shots. He really, like, he stacks up wide receivers well. He can win those 50-50 balls, even though he's not huge, but he still just knows how to manipulate his body at the last second, which is great. People talk about Nico Collins often from Michigan. He's a strong off-coverage kind of guy. I just don't know if he'd fit into our system well. He would be a good boundary wide receiver because we need one, but he's not necessarily explosive, right? We kind of would have to, like, use him off of play actions and hopefully get those long, deeper plays to get his long speed to use him there. People don't like this guy, but I think if we get him late, I think in the second round is a lot better value than the 19th pick. Kadarius Toney, man, people definitely were like, you know what, like 19, it's kind of crazy. You know, I wouldn't do it, pick him there. 51, it gets real appealing. I think for Washington, I think it would be criminal if we don't take a wide receiver on day two. We should definitely take a wide receiver in the second or third round. Keep adding talent because Curtis Samuel goes down, McLaurin goes down, we're in trouble. And I think Toney can do everything. Punt returner because we need one. I think he's explosive in the slot. He basically he's not a motor. I don't know if you guys have actually watched him play. He's like this hyper, right? The only thing about him is he's got to get his feet underneath him. Like, sometimes he's too erratic when he's running plays, but I think if he can kind of hone that in, he could explode. And that'd be kind of a fun late pick in the second or third round.
I like it. I like it. Adam?
You know, I'm going to go back to last year and look at the situation, how the Ruggs, Judy, and Lamb situation panned out. That's what we got this year, except Ruggs, I think, you know, we're not going to see Waddle go ahead of Chase. So I think it's Chase, and it's going to surprise a lot, but, you know, it's going to be Waddle. So Devontae Smith, that's the guy that we're going to be looking at. That's the guy that can fall to Washington. I'm an Alabama fan. Everybody knows that. And I'll say the same thing I said about Mac Jones. I'll say about, you know, not similar prospects, but Devontae Smith. There'll be teams that want to jump up and get him. If you're looking at what Washington's trying to do, Terry McLaurin is coming up on a long-term deal. He's going to be one of the highest paid, if not the highest paid in the league. You have Samuel on that three-year deal. I don't think getting a first-round receiver financially is in the plans. It's just my prediction. So I think what George said, let's start looking at, you know, second round and after. And Tony, I think he impressed a lot. He had me slipping a lot from everything I've been reading. Well, you know, more tape I'm seeing. He's not a good route runner. He's more of a gadget guy, but he's getting better. He's quick. But at 51, who you get him, great, but I don't see it. So I'm going to bring you guys, you know, back to my article. Receiver is the position right now. I'm up and down. Deame Brown was mentioned. Amon St. Brown, his brother, Equanimeous St. Brown, plays for Green Bay. These are late day two guys that I'm going to get into. Elijah Moore, Dwayne Eskridge,
Elijah Moore,
Daz Newsome.
Awesome.
Shatarius Tutu Atwell, a little undersized, but the word out there right now is Washington looking for that kick returner, punt returner. So we're not just looking in to bring some standard XZ, and that's what, you know, I keep telling other people that are looking at that. That's not what I think they're looking to do. I think you have Terry on one side, you have Samuel Humphrey or move guys. So, you know, start thinking of guys like later round, you know, Jalen Darden, Shai Smith from South Carolina. Shai Smith, I'll start with him. I did player cards on those guys. Shai Smith, he worked under Debo Samuel. He put a lot of people on note, especially scouts at the Senior Bowl with his toughness. You know, he's nowhere as big as Debo, but they ran him the same kind of plays. He took over for Debo. So you want to talk about a tough SOB, that's a guy you can get in the fifth. But my favorite guy in this draft right now, he was second in the nation behind Devontae Smith at touchdowns, is Jalen Darden, North Texas.
Love Darden.
He's just not getting enough attention. I think people are caught up. The scouts have reported, I think it was 4.5, 4.52. Don't get caught up. Just watch the kids tape. To me, he fits exactly what Washington wants to do. You put him in the slot. You put him in a returner. You know, another guy, Marquez Stevenson, I'll have a player card coming out. Houston, dynamic returner, some injury concerns. But these are the kind of guys I'm looking at. Bateman, all these guys, I won't argue the talent. They're there. But it's going to be a money situation with Terry coming up. And with the talent they have, I'm looking more at tight ends in the second round. One of my favorite guys in this draft after Pitts is Brevin Jordan. I think that's the guy you can get at 51. I know you're out in South Florida forever, man.
I've been talking about him. If anybody follows me, I preach him all the time.
Jacoby Brissett, I watched Jacoby Brissett play in high school. I lived down the street from Dwyer High School in Florida, brother. So I started my scouting down there. That's when I got into it, was high school. And I heard about Brevin Jordan's family before even Brevin. But, you know, our guy Nate, you know, everyone knows Nate Jayhawk, man. He turned me on early on. I just have been addicted to his film. The guy's been using the backfield all over the field. He is that move tight end that fits perfect with Thomas. So we're very focused on these receivers. I think receiver, we can wait. The talent is so deep. I can't say the same for tight end. I saw a guy comment about Tommy Tremble from Notre Dame. I don't think a blocking tight end is what they should look at. That's something you look at sixth, seventh round, even undrafted.
Right.
Move tight end. And I'll say this to end it. There's a lot of guys on this roster that are talented that are just not going to make it. So, you know, I'm not going to get into the whole conversion tight end thing, but we saw with Niles Paul. He was a talented guy. So make the decision for yourself. I'm not going to say which prospect, which receiver, but I think that there's maybe a receiver or two that could be considered for that third tight end role because they're not going to keep six, seven receivers. I see them keeping
Harmon.
Five, maybe six. This draft is going to allow them to really build depth on offense. So, you know, you have Fitzpatrick out there. Just keep loading up on speed, man. I love what Kansas City's doing, and I think teams just need to copy what they're doing. Forget the X, forget the Z. Just get speed guys, slot guys that can move.
Speed kills.
And this is perfect for our next topic, but Disco, what you think?
So, you know, I totally agree. You know, you got a layer. I mean, you know, they signed Adam Humphries, but he's only on a 1-year deal. Right. So, exactly. You know, I mean, you got to look to good teams layer, and good teams don't draft particularly high in the draft based on need. They draft best player available. Now, I was a big Kadarius Toney fan. I think that maybe not at 19, but I think it's game over if they get him on this roster for that slot or punt return. I think we have to solve that punt return position this year. That's a position of want to. That's a position where you got to have a little screw loose to be able to do it. Not just a guy to just say, okay, let's catch the ball and let me go down. We need somebody that's a threat to score. I would also say, you know, one guy I like, you know, maybe third round, fourth round, possibly, is Dwayne Eskridge out of Western Michigan. I think he's a guy that you bring in, and he's not necessarily – he's a guy that you can bring along. But with all of these weapons, this is a perfect opportunity for a mid- to late-round receiver to thrive. The pressure is not on him. Like, you get a guy – I mean, God love him, but you get guys like, you know, the Isaiah Wrights and the Steven Sims Jr., who we bring in, and we're expecting them to be, you know, pure number two, you know, pure number three receivers. And these guys, you know, these guys are just not that. I mean, there are a lot of people that and I, you know, like others, I'm a little, this may not be as I am not a super huge Cam Sims fan. I think he's good. I think he is progressing. You know, just, I'd like to see more consistency there. So to me, McLaurin, you know, Samuel, I think that Curtis Samuel, after that, man, it's a battle for me. But to me, those two are locks. Everyone else has got to fight for it. Yeah. I'm not married to anybody beyond those two.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Awesome stuff, man. So I want to get into the next topic because we're already on a draft talk right now. So pretty much, what do you think are the biggest needs? So this is a two-part question. And we'll end with this. So what do you think is the biggest needs in the draft? That's one. And number two, what do you think we should do at 19? What's your strategy? Do you trade back? Do you trade up? Do you stay put? So it's a loaded question. What are our needs, and what do you do at 19? Hansel?
Man, how much time do you got? first of all, elephant in the room, if anybody sees what I – franchise quarterback, man. Franchise quarterback. Mm-hmm. I mean – number one thing, we haven't had one since Slinging Sammy Ball, and none of us were alive at that time. You know, we just go through the names, but obviously the linebacker position. You know, our defense could be elite if we just, you know, fix those little holes that we have, like obviously the free safety position, but mainly linebacker. You know, obviously tight end. If we get Brevin Jordan, I'm telling you right now. It's not because I'm a Kane homer. The guy started as a true freshman.
Yeah.
We are tight end you, man.
Yeah.
just that I just said that, just believe that I'm telling you that you are going to get
a fighter,
a great leader. The guy is just – if you just see articles or anything on him, he bleeds Miami. And he's not even from there. He's from Vegas. But he just – he's one of those guys. He's embedded in the culture. The mismatches that we would make with that guy with a double tight end sets, we would have so much speed on the field. It's just pick your poison. It does not matter. Fitzmagic is going to have a field day because if we get that guy with what Logan Thomas is doing and what he's building on, because he had a great year. He caught me off guard. I didn't think he was going to ball like that. Nobody did, I'm sure. But, you know, I mean, he loves to go run goes, have them seam routes, attack them safety, especially in the single high cover three. You know what I'm saying? Pick your poison. It doesn't matter, man. And then you got McLaurin. Samuels, McKissick, it does not matter. We get a guy like that, and I'm telling you, our offense is on and running, especially with, like we just said, all the wide receiver depth that we have. Obviously, some tackle help. You know, I know Sadiq Charles is there. Let's see what's up with that. But, you know, tackles are important. The trenches are where it's at, but it's not sexy, man. It's not what I'm about right now. But, you know, backup running back for sure, like a short yardage guy, a bammer. I love McKissick and I love Gibson, but I feel like we need somebody – when it's short yardage that we can get the ball to. You know, I love the kid from Ohio State. I also love Jamar Jefferson from, you know, he's going to be that guy. He's not that big, but he's 217, 5'10". He's a load, man. That guy, if you watch his film from Oregon State, he is just between the tackles runner, doesn't shy away from contact, doesn't try to go out of bounds. He'd be a great guy to have. Obviously, wide receiver, nickel DB. And last but not least, I know – A lot of people are not saying it, but I know you're going to feel me on this one. Bring in a damn kicker, man. Jose Borregales, man, from Miami. Bring him in. Kick Dustin Hopkins out of here. I'm not a believer in him. Not only that, he's a Florida State guy. I'm
about to say.
You know, replace him with a cane. Replace him with a cane, Jose Borregales. But I'm telling you, you got to bring in competition for that guy because he's had it way too easy, way too long. When the game's on the line or 50 yards back, he just doesn't got it. He's a decent kicker, but he doesn't do it, man. He's not elite. And I know not everybody has an elite kicker, but if we're working on getting better and Ron wants to make the team better and compete at every aspect, you got to bring in competition for him. So that's my lineup, and those are my thoughts on that, fellas.
I love it. I'm fired up. Maybe we need yeah, man. Let's go.
You already know.
Christian, man, give me your thoughts, man.
So, I mean, for draft, like I said again, I always want to go best available at 19 or any pick, really, but like 19 especially, and especially in a QB-heavy draft. Now, I've said this before on other channels, and it's probably unpopular to say, but I think the Fitzpatrick move does allow someone to allow us to trade up for a quarterback because he has always been a bridge. Now, obviously, we don't want to say that because, like you said, Hans, like our history with first-round quarterbacks is we just saw Dwayne Haskins, RG3 before that, Jason Campbell. He's Shuler. I can go down the list of first-round quarterbacks. There's nothing more synonymous.
Ramsey.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing more synonymous than mediocre quarterback first-round play and Washington football. Like, it just that's an unfortunate reality. I personally would like to see – if we do take a quarterback, I like sitting him for a season. I want the rookie to have his time to watch the game, understand the speed of it, get the lingo down, see what NFL character is like, and Fitzpatrick would allow you to do that. I mean, Alex Smith would have too, but his leg's just so far gone at this point, I can't trust it. So, you know, it is what it is in that department. Now, as far as talent is concerned within the first round, obviously, if we don't take a quarterback and just sit at 19, I mean, you're going to see some premier players drop because if you can assume the first four quarterbacks, first five are off the board within, you know, five, six picks right there, then you're forcing a Kyle Pitts down to seven. You're forcing a Micah Parsons that for whatever reason, it seems like of recent, his name's been kind of like coming back down from like the top 10 consideration and Keekly comparisons and whatnot. I mean, biggest need of the team, I think, is middle linebacker. I think if you can get the right guy in the middle of the defense to plug a gap, cover the tight end, you know, read the run game, do all those different things, it's going to feast off the D-line we got. And for the love of God, somebody don't put Babke back there again at free safety. I swear, I don't know what that dude does, but he's terrible. We need a free safety bad. I think that would allow the corners to play aggressive ball hawk corner football every play because the D-line's not going to give him a quarterback time and a corner that's pressed on like that. You want to give him back-end security. So get that free safety. Let him play relaxed, stress-free football up front. And if the offense wants to try to put it downfield, cool. We'll just have the ball hawk down in the middle. Phil's been a big fan of – Manny, you know Phil. Richie Grant, that safety from – I forget the school now. But yeah, but he's been campaigning for him hard, and I have to agree as well. Like that dude, I want a ball hawk. I want someone. I mean, if you could tell me Earl Thomas could reincarnate, I would take him in a heartbeat here.
Right.
I mean, obviously not in this current situation with his off-field stuff, but like that's the kind of player I'd love to see. I think you need to consider offensive guard depth because we can't play this tag game with Scherf continuously and expect something to happen. Like you don't want to come out like say for example 2017 when we let DeSean Jackson and Garcon walk, and we were forcing Terrell Pryor and Josh Doxon take all those targets. Like, you don't want to, like, get to a point of which, like, they leave, and then you're stuck with nothing, and you're forcing, you know, a second-year guy who's never beaten man coverage to take number one snaps and see number one coverage, and Terrell Pryor, who was a quarterback-turned-receiver in the NFL. Like, you got to be prepared for that. Right. Tackle depth. I mean, Moses had a bounce-back year, but, I mean, the dude does have this – it seems like, for whatever reason, it seems like every other game he has this, like, ankle that bothers him. Cornelius Lucas, great story, but like, is he a franchise guy at this point? I don't know. You got to always have offensive line depth. And actually, also, I think people forget the third edge rusher behind Sweat and Young. Because now that Kerrigan's walk, you know, you want to have somebody to rotate, whether it's JSW or somebody else in the draft. I mean, you got to get somebody. You want to keep the line of scrimmage fresh. And I mean, that's how the NFC East won it's back in the day, is you had the trenches secured, locked down, and we're playing dominant football.
I got you, man. I think you're muted.
Yeah.
I'll jump on in.
I love it.
Give it up. No, it's all good. I think we have to give it up for Ron Rivera, man. I think he did a good job the past two off seasons filling in the gaps for free agency. Like that's what good teams do, right? You take free agency, you fill in the gaps, you fill in your needs, you form a nice base going into the draft, which I think we are right now. Like granted, we could upgrade it in middle linebacker and free safety and tight end, but nothing is a glaring red alert in my opinion. I think, you know, obviously we can upgrade, but nothing's a red alert. So, like, for me, an ideal situation would be to move back. I know it's not necessarily the most popular thing in the world, but if we can move back later in the first round, maybe pick up another second, that'd allow us to have such a deep class. We can definitely build our talent base up there. 19 is kind of like a like no man's land. So, basically, it's like, you know, we are, you know, we're not necessarily the premier, like, blue chip prospects. We're kind of at the edge of that. So, if we get in late 20s, early, you know, get a 20th pick and then also pick it in the second round, that'd be awesome. But, if we have to stay, I agree with the commenter right there. I think Darisaw will be an awesome pick at 19. I think he might fall. Like he might actually go really early. Him and Rashawn Slater and Penei Sewell will go pretty early. I think the tackles. But if he falls, he would be the safest floor, and he would be a long-term need. Like Washington's known for having stout, standout left tackles, Chris Samuels, Trent Williams, plug and play 10 years. We'd have him there. And you guys are talking about Sadiq Charles. There's been talk about him being moved to guard. That's an instant upgrade. Could you imagine him walking in as our left guard? We get Darisaw as our left tackle. We still have, Sheriff and Moses. We have a pretty stout line out of nowhere, right? We definitely upgraded pretty hard that year if that happened. If Darisaw, this guy's stealing all my thing, all my thunder right
that's
here.
That's the guy right there. He's stealing all my thunder.
That's the guy. I know. Me and Adam are going to say, we had this conversation yesterday. So my big thing is this: Darisaw's the safest floor. I love Collins, man. Adam and I got the same like perspective on it. I see him as like a middle linebacker, 6'4", 260. He's that Brian Urlacher build. He is awesome zone coverage back. Like he could play the middle. People are like, you know, where do you put him? Put him in the middle. He can blitz. He's a good pass rusher. His only area of improvement from what I've scouted and from what I've read is maybe, like, you know, not necessarily a thumper in a running attack, but, you know, who cares? I mean, you can develop that over time. Being that 6'4", 260 in the red zone, playing zone coverage, you just imagine that as swatting balls down, just taking that away. So I like those two picks. Let me see what else I got. I have a couple of notes. Bateman's there at 19, but I think that's too high for the wide receivers. I think, like, you know, with such a deep class, is buying high. And, you know, this, I think Adam's going to kill me on this one, but joke. I think I kind of see him there as well. Jeremiah Owusu Komamoa, however you pronounce his last name. I like Collins better. I think he's kind of a – the only thing that I find intriguing about Joke is his speed. I think we just talked about it. Speed kills. Put him in there. You never know. He can play weak side linebacker. He's a great zone coverage back. He has great pursuit. You never know. Maybe with Jack Del Rio being creative, he could be a flexible option. But it'll be Darisaw, Collins, and Joke for me. 1, 2, 3 will be my choices.
Man, awesome, man. Those are great, great prospects. Definitely. Adam?
I'm going to go on Zaven Collins like we were talking about. That's one of my favorite prospects. The Urlacher build, yeah, but it's the Urlacher ability too, because I've just been watching what I saw in a 2-year span is how he improved in the 260. He's not going to play under 260. He's going to, if he comes to Washington, that is. If he goes into 3-4, he could stay with that and they could try to plug him in an outside linebacker. I think that's a waste of his talent, though. I think you can see him play more in that 245 range in a Del Rio system, you know, in early downs. You know, I think you can use him in a variety of ways, but he is that big Mike that we can use. We can drop him in a coverage. There's just so much he can do. 2 games sealed by interception. So we talk about coverage linebackers. You know, 97-yard return touchdown to end the game. Another interception in midfield while the other team was marching. So that's what I want to see. I want to see gamers. Size, tape, cool. But I want to see gamers. And what does he do? Collins takes over games. So if they want to put him in this box, that he takes over games. So if Washington has a chance at 19, you take him. But I'm agreeing with George. You know, there's a lot of scenarios that I think you're going to trade back. A guy that I probably like, 2 guys I like after that are Nick Bolton.
Love Nick Bolton.
A little rich at 19, but he's still in that top 25 range. And Richie Grant, the safety out of Wake Forest.
UCF.
He is one of my favorite. You know, Morick, too, from TCU is legit. But Richie Grant, just what I saw during the Senior Bowl, little things here and there. How he is anticipating reads better. I have him as a legit day one starter free safety. But if you look at the way Washington's, you know, breaking down right now, it doesn't sound like Landon Collins is too eager to slide inside. You know, we've heard Al Galdi, a lot of people that have actually heard from him, talk to him. He's basically saying no. he's got a contract that they cannot dump right now. Mm-hmm. Next year, it's a little more feasible. So are we talking about Cam Curl at free safety? I think we could see a combination of Fuller and him maybe in this free safety set. So I don't think that they're going to go free safety in round one. So to me, it's Zaven Collins, it's Nick Bolton. And I put such high emphasis on middle linebacker. Everybody's saying they've drafted defense so many years, need to go the other way. You want to solidify a unit. And a middle linebacker allows you to have William Jackson, all the other guys. Moreland will have a career year if we can get a solid middle linebacker. Yeah. I guarantee it, guys. So before, you know, the offense is a work in progress. You can solidify the D right now. This D, if you can, it can be good enough. We saw what happened with Tampa Bay in Kansas City. You can build that team good enough. And you're with an extra 17 game, offensive lines are going to be beaten down this year. So what do? Defense, defense, defense. So it's we talk about BPA, but also in the Washington's, there's fits there because we talk about Collins and Bolton. Who knows how the draft's going to really go out right now, but I'm seeing all these quarterbacks, all these receivers, Kyle Pitts, even some offensive linemen, some prime talent's going to drop to Washington. So they're going to have a lot of options going in for sure.
I agree.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's a riser in Jamin Davis, you know, where
those numbers today were
where the football team trades back and trades back. There's a potential that the team can trade back two or three times and end up with some serious assets, pick up some extra second and third round picks, and can really fill a lot of holes in a lot of spots and still get the best available. So, I mean, you trade back two or three times, you can get you a Richie Grant in the late 20s. So there's some possibilities there. What about you, Disco?
So I think that, you know, Washington has put themselves in a really good position with what they've done in free agency, because they're not, landing Samuel, they're not pressed to get had they not landed Samuel in free agency, they're pressed to get a wide receiver, I think, at 19. I think getting William Jackson, allows them, a lot more flexibility. But I'm going to say this, I'm going to go back to Hans's point. You know, a franchise quarterback, and even what they've done with Ryan Fitzpatrick and not having to press to get a quarterback. But if Ron's guy's there, you got to get it. You got to get him. I would trade up for him if it's your guy, and you have to be right. Because I'm going to say this there. I know the history of this team with first rounders, and we've just been abysmal for third. But that would have absolutely zero bearing on what I do at quarterback. Because here's the thing. The reason why is we've had no vision, no leadership, and too many coaches over 30 years. So now we have some stability. So we have some talented coaches to help develop. So now could be the opportunity to do that. So I would not be upset at all, because you've laid the foundation. You have some pieces in place. Now, having said that, if that doesn't work out and you can't reach, if that doesn't work out, look, Ron Rivera's probably said, okay, offense, you've had your fun. You got your toys. Let me go get mine. Let me get my culture establishing middle linebacker. I like Zaven Collins. I think he could be the pick. I wouldn't be mad with Joke, but I think Zaven Collins is that dude. Maybe Jabril Cox, maybe if he's in the second round. He's a guy that you may want to look at as well. So I think he has to go get his cornerstone of his defense at middle linebacker. It just depends on whether it's going to be at 19 or whether it's going to be at 52. But I think they have put themselves in a really good position to be flexible in this draft. I remember Ron Rivera saying, not having a second round pick last year hurt. Right. Now they've got two third rounders. Maybe if you're able to move back, somebody's going to fall back. It's going to allow somebody else to move up. But again, it takes two to tango. So that's kind of where what I'm looking at.
And I love it. I mean, all great points. Just imagine if five quarterbacks go in the top 10. There's a strong possibility that five quarterbacks can go in the top 10. So that's five guys, right? Then we know the top three wide receivers probably go top 15. Mm-hmm. Maybe. And if not, let's say that two or three tackles go, right? And then maybe a couple of linebackers go, maybe a position, maybe somebody reaches for a free safety. I don't know. Maybe something crazy happens. Then you're looking at a top three wide receiver in 19 or a Micah Parsons in 19. Mm-hmm. Something is going to fall. Something is going to fall. And yeah, we're going to walk away happy. So, man, we're coming to the end of the show. I'm going to go around the frames one more time. introduce yourself, tell the people where they can find you on social media, and then you can give me one last point, one last remark, make it all like in a minute, and then we'll just go from there. Hansel?
Yeah, it's fresh on my brain. I just wanted to touch on Adam's point of, you know, like solidifying that middle linebacker. If we get that defense where it's humming and it's perfect and we don't have any gaps, it allows a guy like Fitzmagic, when he makes errors, because we know it's going to happen in games like that, where the game will still be close because our defense will keep us in the game. So eventually he'll snap out of it and he'll hit one and we can win. So we make that section elite and it's on, it's over. Because it's, you know, we've seen what the NFL does. It's a passing league, but when you have a championship caliber defense, like what San Francisco had, which I love how we followed their kind of like their mold of all first round defensive linemen. You see what it could do. It's deadly. Defense does win championships. I don't care what anybody says. I coach defense. I play defense. That's the way it is. If you can't score on us, you can't win. But you can find me, obviously, also on social media. I don't have pods or anything like that, but I love this. I've had so much fun. I hope that if you guys ever want to invite me, I bring a lot of energy. I'm an energetic guy. I love to have fun. I love this type of stuff. I've never been on it, but that's my passion. I'm a sports management major. It's what I went to school for. First time in my life I ever got honors. but I appreciate you guys having me, and I'm excited to see what Ron's going to do. I do agree the last point. At 19, we are in a good spot if somebody falls because, you know, draft boards are going to have – 5 or 6 guys that you like that you'll take that position. So we can afford to trade back and we are in a good spot. So pick up an extra second or something like that. As long as we don't drop too far back and still range of our guy, but I never answered the question. So I just want to say Zaven Collins would be definitely the pick. I mean, it just, the guy on film is just outstanding. His measurables. I mean, he's huge. He can play in coverage. He sits there. He baits the quarterback. I mean, a lot of things that you don't see a lot of players play like the size that he has and the cerebral way that he plays. Mm-hmm. I mean, he'd be an awesome addition to the team. But again, I mean, that's my Twitter handle. You can find me on Facebook, anything like that. My name's actually Hansel. A lot of people call me Hans, but it's Hans, but it's Hansel, like the story Hansel and Gretel. But hey, man, I appreciate you guys having on. Manny, thank you for my first opportunity on here, man. Much love to you, fellas. I had a blast, man. This was great, man. I really enjoyed the energy. You guys are all good. I respect all your opinions. And thanks for contributing to the football team / Redskins world, because we all appreciate you guys.
Absolutely, man. Hey, that boy good. For his first time, he's good. He's good. You will definitely be back on the
show. Appreciate it, man. Yeah. I appreciate that, fellas.
Yes, sir. Christian?
All right. Yeah, I mean, I don't have my own any podcasts or writings or anything. I refer everything to Redskins Hub via Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, any social media between myself and the fellow admins, like, you can find us through NFL Capology, for example, Fantasy Hogs Click, whatnot, for social media references. As for this team, I think the most unsung addition is actually the guy getting healthy who was on our team last year, tore his bicep, is Matt Ioannidis. I think we forget that dude is our best interior rusher. I don't care what anyone says. Like, I like Allen and Payne, don't get me wrong. Settle's a good story. Ioannidis is the best one. And when you have someone who can collapse the interior of the pocket and force a quarterback to have to go out to a sweating young, I mean, I could see if you told me the front could stay healthy for all 17 games, I could see a 30-sack season between Sweat and Young. Like, those two, when you have that kind of offense that can finally get respectability and not just, you know, oh, we're going to run here, three and out, we're out. Like, actually, it's going to have some kind of high flying. Like, when you have a defense like that, and if you add, like, if you told me Zaven Collins was added to that, man, this defense – I don't care how pass, you know, happy this league can get. We just saw in the Super Bowl, defense wins championships. It just does.
Him behind
go ahead.
No, him behind Matt Ioannidis, like you said. Oh, my gosh.
No, it's gonna be football porn. Honestly, like, it's gonna be the kind of line. You know, you have your cocoa butter in hand, ready to go. Like,
that's what I like to see. All right.
Yeah, but I mean, like genuinely, I think the line of scrimmage is where it's won. I mean, I'm probably biased too because I've been a career lineman. I mean, I've been offensive lineman all my life, but I'll agree, like, defense wins championships. I not only want to be able to put points on the board, but I want to know that when I do score, it's not going to be like, well, I have to go out there and put 35 a game to succeed. No, I can have a bad day and we're going to win because I know the defense is going to allow one touchdown. That's it. You know, have good luck. Again, follow me. If you're going to follow me on anything, I'm going to refer it to Redskins Hub. I'm not in my own entity in that regard. And those other admins between Cal, Tony, Phil, all of them, they do some great work. Thank you for having me, man. It's been a joy finally after all this time, man. We've been talking about it to finally get on here, talk with y'all. I'm honored to be on the show, man.
Absolutely.
George. First of all, thank you, Manny. I really appreciate you inviting me on here, man. I love talking Redskins all day long. It's been an honor talking to you and Hans and Christian and Adam. Disco, talk to you guys all the time on Twitter. So to see you guys in person and talk to you guys. So thank you for having me, and I really appreciate that. You guys can follow me at gcarmy21 at gcarmy21. I'm also an editor at fullpresscoverage.com. We have a great group of guys that always put in good effort, and you know, we all really care about the team. So we're doing our research due diligence. So check us out there at FBC_WASH for Washington there. In regard to the team, I guess my big takeaway is I trust the process, man. I'm really happy with Ron Rivera. I love our GMs in place. We actually have professionals running the team. I'm looking forward to a good draft. I think my dream scenario, I mean, I love linebacker. I played linebacker in high school. That's my favorite position. I would love Zaven Collins, but I think dream scenario, right? Let's say Darisol falls to left tackle. We manipulate the board with our third round picks, move up, get Nick Bolton. I love Nick Bolton a lot. He's a sledgehammer. His only limitation is a little bit smaller, but like, he's awesome. He's great run fits, Navarro Bowman-esque. He's a great player. I'd love that. So that'd be great. Look out for the free agency wire too after the draft. There's Trey Boston still available. There's some good players. People don't like James Conner. He's sitting there, right? Too. He might be an upgrade over Peyton Barber or something like that. Adam's laughing at me, but little small things here or there. But you know, basically, there's some people out there too. So pleasure as always, guys. So you know, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Adam.
Just follow me at the BNG Report. You'll see most information. This is the busy time. This is when everyone wants to be my friend. I'm the co-host on Football Garbage Time. We're a fantasy podcast. We do a lot of Washington football, but a lot of going around the NFL, and especially during the year, a lot more fantasy focus. I'm an honorary co-host on the Brawl Network now with Parker Hamlet, Rio, and some great guys over there, working with Josh Taylor over at the Capital Network. As a consultant as well, so I'm kind of all over the place. But basically, main reason what I'm doing is for the fans. Right here, this is our one-click prospect cards. You go to our site. All you got to do, we talked about Jalen Darden. You click the card. You go to the. You get the full evaluation. You get the full YouTube. You get everything you need. It's one click. I got crappy Wi-Fi, so you can't see it. But
good.
You go to my site, we have full Washington news. We have a section. We bring everything over from Washington site. You don't have to leave our site. We have our Washington football articles. And like I said, we have that prospect card section where you can choose the player card, get the full evaluation, highlight video, projection of Washington, which is the most important. So again, that's theburgundyandgoldreport.com. Find everything there, man. We do it for the fans. Hail DC, man.
Awesome. Disco, take us home.
So, yeah, hey, man, I respect you guys, man. We chop it up on Twitter, man. This has been awesome. Manny, thank you for having us, having us. I'm at Disco Q5, DiscoQue5 on Twitter. Follow me. So I'm interested to see how this draft goes up, because it seems like a relaxed draft. It just feels like going into it, we have a good number of picks. We have some needs. We have some holes to fill, but we've done some work in free agency. So this is going to be an enjoyable draft. And the other thing that I'm really looking forward to that I've actually over the last few years, I'm looking forward to day three. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm really looking to see what they do, you know, sixth, seventh round. And normally, you know, Saturday I'm out doing something like whatever. Those are throwaway days and throwaway picks. Now, I'm like, yo, who we get in the sixth? Who do we get in the seventh? You know, we got two seventh round. I mean, look at Jimmy Moreland. Greg Stroman, Martin Mayhew actually mentioned by name the other day, so it sounds like he really likes him. But, you know, the other thing I'm really interested in, and this goes back, I really think an underrated need for this team is running back. And I agree. Because here's the thing. Look at when Gibson went down for those couple games. J.D. McKissic is a really good story. But, I mean, just in a heartbeat like that, you know, you're all of a sudden thin at that running back position. Yeah. So not so much looking at, you know, not at 19, and I'm not one of these guys, we don't need one of those. You can get one of those later in the later round. I mean, people say that to sound smart, and I get it. But I'm really interested to see what guys like Najee Harris go, where Trey Sermon goes. You know, where Travis Etienne goes. And I'm not suggesting that we get those guys at 19, but, you know, if Najee, I mean, that dude is a beast. So, I mean, what you going to do if he's sitting there? You know, I mean, if you're really talking about best player available. So I'm really interested to see how this draft is going to fall out, because I think there's some players that are going to drop and we're in a perfect position with those, with the, you know, with the two third round picks. Thanks again, guys. I loved it.
Absolutely. And I am your host, Manny Chukwuba. You guys can follow me on Twitter. Be sure to follow the podcast page, Back Row Redskins. Be sure to follow the YouTube, Talking Sports with Manny, on Instagram, Facebook. And, hey, got some merch. It's out. Support your boy. Once again, you're listening to the Back Row Redskins show, and this is your boy, Manny, and we are out.
Happy Easter, y'all.
Happy Easter.
That's awesome. You too, guys.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Manny. I appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Manny, man.